Welcome to Burn Bright Today, Burn Brighter Tomorrow with me, your quantum wealth and wellness expert, Jennifer J. Marcinelli, bringing to you a holistic healing revolution, eradicating exhaustion and renewing your whole life. Whether you're a corporate executive or homemaker, exhaustion and burnout have no boundaries. I bring over 30 years of wellness and wealth expertise to this hit show, specializing in helping leaders recover from burnout and transforming themselves into the prosperous executives they were meant to be. When it comes to burnout, I have a simple philosophy. When you have energy problems, you need energy solutions. You don't have to accept chronic mood swings and exhaustion as normal. You can go from stress, anxiety, depression, chronic pain and illness to burning bright today and burning brighter tomorrow. Burn Bright Today starts right now. Hello from Houston, and we have Dr. Mariëtte Jansen from the Netherlands in the UK. So glad you're here today, Dr. Jansen, part 3 of 4. Welcome.
Hi, right. Good to be here.
Yeah, and I love those lovely tulips. Those are absolutely gorgeous, as stunning as you are. All right, so folks, let's talk about, before we get into the topic, because we're really, Dr. Jansen's really going to walk us through today, how to navigate through these tricky relationships where you're dealing with someone with the behaviors consistent with narcissism or narcissistic personality disorder. But before we jump into the meat of this show, let me just take a step back, because I got a lot of really, really good calls from well-being directors and some senior leadership folks that saw this on LinkedIn during the past week. So I want to just take a step back and give a little bit of clarity. Part of the reason that I've dedicated myself to cracking the code of burnout and eradicating exhaustion is because, as anybody who's been following me the last 2.5 years knows, that I personally lived it. I had a near-death experience, a near suicide happened after years in sales of trying to meet unrealistic expectations, leading a corporate-wide initiative against some tremendous resistance, and what that can be like when there are individuals in your organization who may not be comfortable with the change that you've been hired and asked to drive, right? So what's going on in the US? And Dr. Jansen, I don't know if you're seeing this so much in the UK, but there's this big phenomena underfoot, and the media is calling it the Great Resignation, where people are actually resigning. And the term that Reuters uses is en masse. People are actually resigning from their jobs, putting family first, putting people first, or just for many reasons, having difficulty. Women are now more, you know, homeschooling their children or managing online for their children, or picking up household chores that they once outsourced, that type of a thing. And even in the legal industry, if you look at Reuters, did a really good article, Watson did a really good article about how this is even affecting the legal industry, and how there are attorneys who don't want to come back to work and they're looking for hybrid solutions. So they're resigning and things like that. So there's a big reason we're talking about this today. So there is the Great Resignation going on, because it's time. I think you and I will agree that it's time that we start learning how to reprioritize our health, our mind, our body, our spirit, our health and our well-being, that we begin taking care of ourselves first and our family first, and then we work. But we live for ourselves and for family, and we work. We don't live for our work, because pots calling kettles and confessions of a holistic nurse, I've been there, let me tell you. All right. So talking a little bit about that, and let's talk today. There's a lot of scientific evidence backing us up on this, but really one of the things I just love about working with you is that you have a brilliant way of taking a step back from the scientific evidence and making this just real and approachable. And I'll just say that you've got some fabulous books out there, From Victim to Victor, Narcissistic Survival Guide, and you've got The Rulebook of a Narcissist, Narcissism Self-Help Guide. And folks, just so everybody knows, these are available on Amazon. And Dr. Jansen, just to beginning to let people know where you are, could you give everyone your website address if somebody wanted to call and book a consultation with you?
Yeah, my website is in the UK, and it's drdestress.co.uk. And if you just Google me, then I'll come up as well. So whatever way you want to find me, you will find me. Oh, no problem.
Yay, terrific. Yeah. So one of the things I appreciate most about the work that you've done is you have lived narcissism. You lived it in your home life, in your family, and you're very transparent and approachable about this, very honest and very real about some of the challenges you grew up with your mom and how that later translated into, you know, intimate relationships, marriages, and even into the workplace. So can you just take a couple of minutes? I know this is part three of four and people are getting to know you, but could you just share a little bit with our listeners from your heart, a little bit about your background and how you became driven to be a leader in narcissism and energy psychology?
Okay, well, it's the story starts at home, as you always say, isn't it? Abuse starts at home. My mother was a narcissist and a real punchy one. So I grew up in a dysfunctional family, but had no idea that, you know, what actually was going on. And even when I left the family home and went to university and started to work and started therapy and you know, really looked into what causes my unhappiness, it was never my mother, according to the therapist. It was always about me who needed to repair the relationship and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. I had a boyfriend, I had a partner. And when that relationship broke up, I thought, oh my goodness, it's as if I was living with my mother. I felt the same. And so there were those moments in life and there were sort of things were emerging, but the whole term narcissism didn't exist in those days, or maybe it did exist, but nobody actually knew. And, you know, I retrained as a psychotherapist and as a life coach, and narcissism never came into sight for me unless about 10 years ago when I came across a sort of a questionnaire where you could tick the boxes, and the conclusion was, if people have all these, then they are a narcissist. And I was like, oh, can't believe it. This is written by my mother, for my mother, about my mother. You know, she ticked all the boxes. And that is when my process started of realizing what has been going on and started to heal myself. And as a coach, I attracted some clients who were affected by emotional abuse. But after my book saw the light, it was just amazing. I had an avalanche of interest, and that really brought home how many people suffer from narcissistic abuse and how many people don't know that that is exactly what is going on. So I hope to shine a light on the dark side of narcissism, because once you see it and once you can take your power back, there is a way forward in most occasions.
Well, I love what you're saying, because we have similar practices. We're both in private practice and we have similar clientele from this perspective. And I love what you said, because I think the key thing is understanding. When we can understand what we're dealing with or what we're up against, because again, I say this all the time, this is not about diagnosis. It's not about labelings. It's about understanding the behaviors that you're up against and how damaging and injurious those behaviors are, whether it's at home or in your family or in your workplace, right?
And where you say how damaging they are, yeah. I would really emphasize that whatever you think about your narcissist, it's really you who can judge what is going on. Yeah, because narcissism can only exist if there's an enabler, and you are the enabler, and you're the enabler because you don't know how to deal differently with it. Once you get the hang of that, you can step away and you can stop that abuse. So you play an active role in that. And that's important to realize. And, you know, you were talking about a great resignation. What is fascinating as well is emotional abuse takes up so much energy. People who have to deal with people who treat them very badly, yeah, and who are having that emotional abuse, it zaps their energy. But when you are going and going and going and going, you don't have time to step back and realize what actually is happening. However, if you have to go through a time where it's different, then it might hit home. Then it's like, wait a moment, I'm not that exhausted. I'm not exposed to this person. I can handle better things like this. And then maybe that's part of the great resignation as well, where people come to realizations and say, you know what, I can't go back into that abusive situation. I have to do something differently.
Absolutely. And I took a very enlightening call from a caller after the show, between shows this week. And this is a very successful, longtime sales rep in the field of in vitro diagnostics, same field I'm from. We did not know each other when we were both in sales. And she just said the last show just really, she like got it. She's like, oh, this is why I had to go and make life changes and go out on my own. And she's doing her own thing in her own company now. But I think you're exactly right. When we, from my experience, and I know you've shared from your personal experience, when we grow up with this in the household, especially if it's with a parent, we think this is normal. And that we think we have the skills to be able to handle all of this. And I'll briefly touch on a little bit of the scientific evidence before we take the break, and then we're going to come back to you. But there are, in the field of energy psychology, there are more than 115 peer-reviewed journal articles, 65 randomized control trials, and like 5 meta-analyses. And 99% of those all show that energy psychology is very supportive, safe and efficacious, and effective, if you will, in anxiety, depression, trauma, and PTSD, and a few other things. And it's just fascinating now that in those early studies in the field of energy psychology, when they were first looking at this and they were looking at burnout in the workplace, the early work looked at the personality traits of the employee. So everybody got this test and was called the Big Five. And I'll cite I'll post about the paper and cite it so you can look for it for everyone who is, if you're science nerds like us and you want to see the evidence, you can take a peek at these early papers. But it was all about, as a predictor of which employees or which person is going to suffer from burnout and go on to exhaustion, they were using the personality traits of the employee, which I believe is accurate. But what's missing in that particular scientific data is everything that you and I just talked about. And it misses that you grew up with it from a child through maybe even early childhood, junior high, high school, marriage, into your career, into corporate America. And what it misses is that this is an energy drain. You are exactly right. What I see in my practice and what you see in your practice, unbelievably energy draining, emotionally, mentally, physically, and spiritually. So we're going to take a break. Dr. Mariette Jensen, check out her website. We'll be back in a few moments, and we're going to get more into narcissism, how to spot it, and how to put yourself first. Because basically, we're going to talk about the empowerment of healing yourself so that you can manage these relationships or exit them if that's what is for the greater good of all concerned. So we'll be back in just a few minutes, folks.
The truth is funny. Shift happens with monthly guest host Karen Benton. Tune in for powerful conversations about health and wellness. Karen brings unique insights rich with humor and science to her discussions with experts in medicine, movement, psychology, spirituality, and so much more. Don't miss Karen on The Truth is Funny every third Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about Karen, visit KarenBenton.com.
Do you have traits of ADD or ADHD? It can be hard to meet society's expectations of productivity when traditional approaches to time management and organization don't work for your unique brain. You need customized strategies. In the ADHD Self-Mastery Podcast with Bonnie Minku, you get concise, actionable solutions to help you modify your approach and achieve your goals. Learn more about Bonnie at thrivewithADD.com.
Learn how to lead a happier life on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
You've been listening, but are you watching? Tune in to your favorite shows on the Transformation Talk Radio Facebook page. We stream live video podcasts every day, and we love to hear from you. Leave comments and questions for the host to address live, on the air, and get to know the faces behind the voices you love. Just go to Facebook and search for Transformation Talk Radio.
Yeah, yippee-skippy to that, baby.
Not just talk, conversation for profound self-awareness. Stick with us. Your best life awaits on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Welcome back, Burn Writers. We're here for another exciting segment with Dr. Jansen, and we're talking about burnout at home, in your relationships, and in the workplace, and how this is tying into quite possibly a percentage of, and I'm curious, wondering what degree of impact this is having on the phenomenon known as the Great Resignation, where people are not coming back to work. So what we're going to talk about now is, Dr. Jansen, I really want to turn the show over to you a bit because you are a leader in the field of narcissism. You have a very, very well respected leader and private practice in the UK. And I really want to hear you talk about some of your genius and share some of the information that you have in your books that can help people understand how to handle narcissism and what it means to put yourself first and how to handle all of this. So what are your thoughts on that?
I think when it comes to narcissism or anyone with a personality disorder, you know, they usually attract a lot of attention and people are talking about, oh, how do they behave? What do they do? What do they do? You know, they try to get a picture. The problem with a narcissist is that a narcissist is very two-faced. Behind closed doors, they can be very different from how they are in real life. So for the victims, it's very difficult to talk to other people about it because other people will have a different perception. Then you say, oh, he was so nasty to me. And he said, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, really? And oh, you can just see the question mark, like, I can't believe it. Or, you know, you must exaggerate. Or what is going on in you? So I'm really, really continuously telling people to just look inside themselves and be the judgment of what is going on. If you are on the receiving end, you will know. And someone who's not on the receiving end doesn't, has a very different experience. So really trust your gut feeling there. But for instance, one of the things is I've got, always little questions and things like that. I just love to use that to make things clear. But when you are not comfortable in the presence of someone, that's a red flag. And your friend might be totally at ease, but that's not relevant. It's your discomfort that counts. The person can be very critical of you. Well, narcissists are so clever with words. They can say things in such a subtle, nasty way that if the message is for you, you pick it up and it's not nice. If you have no idea what someone is talking about, it goes straight over your head. Yeah, so they get away with it. But if you can sense that criticism from someone, if you are not sure what mood this person is in, they're so unpredictable. And in their unpredictability, they're very unsettling. Because, you know, you think, oh, I'm going to prepare. I'm going to be nice. I'm going to sort of do this, that, or the other. Because last week they said they really like that. And you do it. And then all of a sudden, it's like they get all grumpy and huffy with you because you do that. And it's just so it's that continuous confusing element in the relationship is a really, really red flag.
Yeah. Before we go on, can we talk about that for a moment? Because I think that is brilliant what you just said. I've experienced this in my former marriage, and I've experienced this with colleagues, and I've experienced it with leadership throughout my career. That I think that what you just said is so key, because it's like everything is a trick and everything is some type of a game to them where they won't allow you to win and they won't allow you to be successful. And number one, like you said last week, they won't allow you to have joy. If there's something that brings you joy, they will make sure that you won't have it. But I can totally relate to what you're describing, because we as empathetic beings really try to connect with people. And I call it in my book, twisting myself into a pretzel to try to appease these people to get love or respect, or for them to be nice to me, for them to even be civil to work on a team with. And no matter how many times I tried to extend that olive branch, that individual or individuals would never have taken the branch, never. They would twist and turn or do something that would try to make me look bad, but it would throw the situation off, where they were just absolutely unwilling to connect and unwilling to even meet in the middle. So I think this is a big deal with relationships, marriages, and, you know, leaders and managers dealing with this on their work teams. So thank you for bringing that up. It's huge.
And it's not something that you can, and you will know that now as well, Jennifer, it's not something that you can address. Right. You can't address it with the other person. But what it is you change your behavior. You change your expectations. And if you know what you're dealing with there, you just know what to do, what not to do with your expectations. And really bring expectations to zero, you know, expect the worst and sort of work around that. Yeah. Then you will never be disappointed, and you keep yourself safe and more or less sane. Because if you reach out and you think, oh, this is going to work, it's not.
Yeah. And
in doing that, is interesting actually. In doing that and having kindness, you're actually enabling the abuse again.
Yes. Absolutely. And I can just hear some of the listeners out there going right now, but what do I do when I have to work with this person? I'm on a team with this person. Either it's my direct report, it's a colleague, or a manager. I mean, what do you do when you're in this situation, exactly what you're just describing? And you just, how do you even manage conflict management like this? And I think a part of the answer
First, never trust anything they say or anything they do. Right. Have everything documented. Anything that's being said, say it in an email, send it around, let people know. You know, you are the one who can be transparent and call a spade a spade without, and that's a very delicate point, right, without really pointing the finger at one of them. Because the moment you do that, you're really in the bad books.
Oh.
Yeah, because this is it. They want to win. They are always right. But if you are transparent and if you are clever in how you're doing that and maybe getting other people speak on your behalf, it's the other way around of the flying monkeys, isn't it? The narcissists have their flying monkeys who do it. But what they do, you can do as well and get some people on board around that, but never ever trust them. Be crystal clear about everything. Just repeat.
Yeah.
And if you think, oh, wait a moment, I haven't heard for 3 days, just check that the deadline is still the same, because the deadline might have changed and they might have not mentioned it to you. So you have to work really, really hard. Yeah, because they're out there to make you fall flat on your face, isn't
Uh-oh.
It?
This is exactly how it plays out. And I think that now that there's an awareness being raised of NPD, narcissistic personality disorder, and even corporate psychopathy. I mean, it's to the point now that corporate psychopathy is so prevalent that there are scientific measuring tools. The B-Scan 360 actually measures for it in organizations. So if you're a listener out there and you're experiencing this, if you're an employee or a manager or a leader, or maybe you're the director of HR, or maybe you're a chief well-being officer, this is a real deal. And I know it's a pain point, and I know that this is an incredible opportunity to bring in resources to kind of help you manage this, because having been through this as a leader and a manager in an organization and dealing with, you know, more than one individual, it can be extremely difficult for you to handle it in a way where you feel you can also protect your employment and your career. I can just say that I have experienced it, and I have clients who have experienced it, that when they do finally go to HR and to get, you know, conflict resolution or what have you, it's actually shown up on their employee reviews. And I'm like, wait a minute, you followed exactly what you were supposed to do to get help for conflict management. How can you possibly get dinged on an employee review because you've had conflict with individuals, especially if you're a change agent, and especially if you're the person driving change in an organization? So I feel you, it's out there. But the good thing is now we're raising awareness, and we have a tremendous opportunity to bring in different resources to help moms, sisters, dads, employees, managers, leaders, and even if you are HR or a well-being officer, there are brand new higher level EAP programs and things like this available now to help manage these tricky workplace relationships in a way that protects the employee and everybody around them. So I know it's a complex syndrome.
It's very complex because, the element of power and position in the workplace, they are being accounted for. And if you're not as powerful and not as high in the hierarchy, it's more difficult and you are more vulnerable.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. So we're going to take a break and we're going to come back because I'd really like to ask you to go down further down your list, if you will. I think the list that you have in both of your books is really valuable, and everyone can go ahead and get over to drdestress.co.uk. You'll see it. We've got your website up posted for you. And also, each of these books are available on Amazon, and you've got free eBooks on your website. So we'll talk also about something that you have a special offer to some of our listeners. We'll talk about that when we come back as well. So let's take a break. And when we come back, more on burnout, managing yourself, burning bright today, even if you're dealing with narcissism. Talk to you in a few, folks.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack, and I'm excited to tell you about the latest technology. It is new to this country, and it's just amazing. It's out of Germany. The Healy is state-of-the-art technology for improving and changing the body vibration. I have more information about the Healy on my website, maryjanemack.com, or you can call the office at 888-777-4232.
Are limitations holding you back from living a powerful and authentic life? Are you able to see yourself and others through a lens of empathy and compassion? Tune into Awaken Your Truth with me, Ritika Rose, to discover how to free your mind, heal your life, and embody your power. Second and fourth Thursdays at 9 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio, YouTube, and across all podcast stations. I'm on a mission to inspire a shift in you, so together we can collectively heal the world. To learn more about me, visit RitikaRose.com.
Grace your space with flair. Dragon Art to Soothe Your Soul by Colette Marie Steffen is available now. Colette invested an average of 6 months on each painting. Her piece titled Courage took 3 years to complete. The paintings are printed with the latest technology to best capture the true essence of the paintings. Browse the 64 dragons and dragonflies and order your paintings today at talesfromthevector.com.
Tune into Hungry for Answers every first and third Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com with me, Robin Clare. I am a recovery coach, professional, and best-selling author, bringing you eye-opening conversations about addiction and groundbreaking tools for recovery. To learn about me and my offerings, visit Clarity.com. That's Claire, Clare-ity.com.
Get empowered. Transformation Talk Radio.
Inspire. Create. Empower. Only on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Okay, folks, we're back. Burnout at home, burnout in a marriage, burnout in the workplace. It's a complex syndrome. We know that to be true. Multidimensional complex syndrome. And one of the most draining, depletion of resources I have ever experienced is dealing with individuals with behaviors consistent with narcissism. So thank you, Dr. Jansen. Thank you so much for being here for part 3 of 4. And I would like for you, if you would, talk a little bit more about how to handle this in the workplace. And what, for example, we've talked about what would you do if you're an employee, but how would you handle this if you are an HR representative or a well-being officer? Because this could be some muddy water, am I right?
Mm-hmm. Very, very interesting position, because we are talking about power balance and imbalance, injustice, you know, corporate rules and games and political games. There is a lot of lack of transparency, I would say, in bigger corporations and sometimes in smaller corporations as well. So I think it's the start of a new era for human resource to look more into this. And it's very delicate. It's only the beginning. You know, if you are in that position and if you want to start to make a difference, I would say, please go ahead, but take it easy and make sure that you know what you're doing. So the baby steps are more important than coming in with the roller coaster, because the roller coaster comes in, you might be on the way out. And that's not what you want to do. I mean, if you want to make a change, you know you have to be there in order to sort of have that influence.
Yeah.
So, but I'm not jealous of your position. You know, I work for myself now, which is I'm free of all that sort of crap. You know, yeah. I've had it. Yeah. I just do what I think is the right thing, and I'm not accountable to a whole team around me. I'm just doing my stuff, which is which gives a lot of freedom.
Right. Yeah. Well, you're right. And this is one of the reasons I went into private practice, was to have this freedom and autonomy to operate at the level of my highest level of integrity, and to treat and work with those who are a good fit for me and not work with those who aren't, which is something which can be very difficult when you're within an organization. So I'm with you. Kudos to all the directors of HR, and major kudos and support to the well-being officers who are tackling this now. And anyone who's been on my platform, burnbrighttoday.com, and anybody who's been on my LinkedIn profile, Jennifer Welch is my former name, Jennifer Welch Marcinelli, you'll see that I dream of a day where anybody who's seen the hit show Billions and is familiar with the character Wendy Rhodes, I dream of a day where every organization has a Wendy Rhodes on staff to help with all of this. Now, she was a psychiatrist, but imagine if you brought in some, you know, even any level of licensed clinical staff to assist, even like an employee assistance program or something like that, to assist you in your endeavors in managing through this, because I don't think there's any going back now. I think we can all see it, and we've got to learn to navigate through this. And, you know, some people are going to stay and some people are going to have to go. So I am excited that at least now we're aware of it, because wouldn't you agree that this was always going on in the background? We just didn't know what it was, and we didn't have a name for it, and we darn sure didn't have, you know, solutions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, solutions, are there solutions? You know, what is a solution? A solution is all about behavior and recognizing what is going on. And as you said, navigating, and, you know, not expecting that it's going to be a perfect situation, because it will never be.
Right.
One of the things, and I don't think I've mentioned that was mentioned in the earlier episode, but it is all about values. Mm-hmm. So as an empath, you have a value set where kindness and generosity and love and trust, you know, are all part of the mix. When you work with people with NPD, they have very different values. And if you want to cooperate with them or manipulate them or sort of, you know, get it sort of organize the situation in a way, usually you have to violate your own values in order to make that work. And that is one of the really big challenges, because violating your values is very upsetting and unsettling.
And draining. And it has a tremendous impact on your spirituality, right? Because, you know, and let's just go there for just a moment, because everyone knows I'm in a doctoral program working on my dissertation in energy psychology, gemstone and diamond therapy, energy psychology, and burnout. Everybody knows this. And as a part of my research, there are science, there are peer-reviewed journal articles. And I'm teasing you because I'm not going to tell you what they are yet, because I'm putting something together for you, but that have actually studied the importance of having spirituality, the role of a spiritualist in the workplace to help people get through all of these changes, loss, grief, and recovery. And imagine how helpful it would be to handle something like this, because to go spiritual for just a moment, because that's who I am and that's what I do. As a board certified holistic nurse, I am bound to provide spiritual care for any of my clients who wish to have it, regardless of race, creed, religious practice, spiritual practice or not. So I'm going to go there for just a moment. But if we consider what our light is, and we consider what the life force, whatever term you want to call it, the word, the Holy Spirit, the Ek, the light and sound, we must have this in our body and being burning brightly to live and to have vitality and happiness and health and everything that goes along with it. And what I've experienced personally, what I've seen in my practice gets repeated over and over with my clientele is exactly what you just described. That in some way, shape, or form, someone or something, whether it was a family member or a spouse or, you know, in the workplace, put down edicts that made us or them, made that person leave their core values to do something they knew wasn't right, or knew they were uncomfortable with, or was out of their integrity, or was in violation of their own core values, spiritual or not. And how damaging that is, and how it dims our light. That is my philosophy, is that is at the most elemental core of what burnout actually is when you've actually dimmed your inner light to the point where you're completely burned out, and there's actually real concern that your light might extinguish, that could actually happen. So I'm really glad that you brought that up about morals and values and core values and ethics.
I love when you say, you know, you dim your inner light. That is just so, so true, isn't it? Yeah. What is also true for people who grow up in a narcissistic environment like I did, my inner light never got bright until much later in life.
Yeah, well, they wouldn't allow you. They won't allow it, right?
No, I didn't know how to do it. And on the level of energy, I have to say, once I got that freedom, once I broke free, I mean, the level of energy that I have is unbelievable compared to when I was in my 20s. I was always tired. I was always sort of having to go to bed early and waking up knackered. Yeah, because there was no connection with me. My light wasn't bright. My light was hardly there. And it was just continuously under stress, really, which is also a source of depletion.
Oh, no doubt about it. Absolutely. And I'm glad that you brought up some of the somatic symptoms, the other symptoms of burnout, because there are scientific evidence that supports that, you know, anxiety, depression, even sometimes if it goes far enough, you know, thoughts of suicide or any type of injury or illness. But two of the most really common, according to the scientific evidence, is also not just anxiety and depression and listlessness or cynicism, but it's also neck and low back pain. And energetically, doesn't that make perfect sense? If somebody's a pain in your neck or in our low back, is our a part of our standing in the world, right? It's the strength, the foundation of which we stand. So if we're continuously going away from our core values and our core ethics, that's root chakra all day long, front and back doors. Mm-hmm. You end up with root chakra injuries, front and back doors, and you're gonna have many, many problems. And one of the classic signs of root chakra injury is low back pain. There are many, but I can tell you, one of the first things people come to me with is, I've got this neck pain and low back pain. Yeah, well, let's take a look at that.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that. I know in the UK, some research has been done, 95% of back pain is caused by what people say stress.
Yep. Yeah,
which, you know, in all sort of forms it can have, but yeah, there's definitely a somatic expression of it. So if you suffer from back pain, if you suffer from neck pain, have a look at what is stressing you out. What are the people in your life who are making it worse? Who are the people in your life you walk on eggshells for? Right. That sort of signals. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And if it's someone close to you, especially if it's an intimate partner, that can come out in other ways too. I've seen it with hip pain, like debilitating hip pain, or even bone spurs on the greater trochanter. I've seen a lot of hip pain, low back pain, especially, and sacral chakra injury as well, especially if it's an intimate partner, a spouse or a loved one where you're intimately related. That can be very, very damaging to the sacral chakra. And you know, the chakras are a major part of how we handle ourselves every day and how we move forward in life, because we are made of energy. We have not only our physical body, we have not only our mind and our emotions and the psyche that need care, but our energetic anatomy needs care and repair, and sometimes complete rebuilding and restructure. I can't even tell you, the bulk of my clients that I see have to have root chakra completely rebuilt, many chakras. And if it's a self-leadership issue, stomach chakra all day long. So worry is a stomach chakra issue, not being able to lead yourself or make a decision or stand firm in a decision that you know is right for you. If you've got symptoms like that and you're really burned out from it, I would definitely have a look at your stomach chakra and see what's going on there. So lots to talk about here. Again, you know, burnout is a complex, multidimensional syndrome, and we're talking about one perspective of it today. But let's take a break. And when we come back, I'd like to, the remaining time, go down some more of your list, if you would, please. I think that is such a valuable tool. So we'll be back here in a few moments. Dr. Jansen, Dr. De-Stress, and her books are on Amazon. And get her free ebook off her website. You can click on the link and head over there. See you back in a few minutes, folks.
Are you ready to put down that drink or drug for good? Are you struggling to maintain your recovery from addictive behaviors? Do you need help with a family member or loved one who's in early recovery or battling addiction? Get the help and guidance you need by arranging a recovery recharged phone session with me, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, certified life and recovery coach. Call 1-800-889-1757. Make an appointment today. Or go to my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and click on the link that says Recovery Recharged. Don't wait. Get the help you need today. This is Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Join Jennifer Noel Taylor on the hit show Quantum Touch Radio, supercharging your life on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You'll take a quantum journey as well as reveal powerful yet simple steps to create more abundance, better health, emotional and mental vibrancy, and happier relationships using universal quantum touch principles. For more information, visit QuantumTouch.com.
Have you known that you're on a soul path, but often wondered why you don't have the insight of how to go from here to there, or whether or not what you're doing is going to take you to where you want to go in your soul's journey? Damayanti is the show for your soul. Damayanti speaks to your soul, connects with your soul, and shines a light for your soul. Damayanti, the show for your soul with Sarah Main, brings you insights and a pathway to your soul's journey on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Are you ready to experience full body system wellness? Tune in to the Empower Me Show with Pam Bright, a spiritual toolbox for your life. Embrace the fullness of who you are as a spiritual being, having a human experience. Pam Bright is a multidimensional healer, light language channel, energy intuitive, and spiritual transformation coach. Join her for a rich conversation about how to unlock all your spiritual gifts. Mondays at 3 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome back. We've got Dr. Mariette Jansen out of the UK, a leader in the field of narcissism. And Dr. Jansen, I would like to give you plenty of time in this last segment, because I think you have such valuable tools, and one of which is that sequence. I would call it Marcinelli madness, but let's call it your MO, your method of operation. So would you take some time to share that with our listeners, please?
Well, we started off talking about, you know, how important it is to look after yourself, to choose yourself. And a lot of empaths who are ideal victims for the narcissist have difficulty saying no, for instance. They're very accommodating, they're people pleasing, and then they hear, oh, no, I can't say no, or, you know, I have to say no, and bang, bang, bang. They think it is like a 360 turnaround, and that will work. And of course that doesn't work, because when we make choices and decisions, they are part of a complex thing. And I've got a range, it's just 6 really simple questions for any situation where you have to make a decision. And I say to Mike, and this can be easy, this can be a simple thing like, can you do the cake sale on the summer fair or something like that? Yeah, it's sort of, or it can be, yes, can you attend that meeting on my behalf, or whatever thing it is. But as long as there's a yes or a no sort of answer possible, I would like you to go through both scenarios. So you choose the answer to the question, say, well, let's say if it was a yes. Then the first question you ask, you say, what does it take from me? Well, very often it's time and energy and maybe frustration and maybe some other things. What does it give me? It's important to see what it gives you and what it takes, because there's balance, isn't it? Then who benefits? And very often you will notice that the other party will benefit and nobody else. Who pays the price? People then think, well, I pay the price, because it takes time, energy, and more for me. But they forget that if their time has been taken up by this particular project, the dog is missing out because it can't go for a walk. The partner is missing out because you're not at home. Your children might be missing out. Your all sort of other people might be missing out just because you're saying yes to a particular thing. Then the other question is like, is it really important? And very often things are not important. So why would you take yourself through all that? And the other thing is it your responsibility? And very often empaths are taking responsibility for things that are not their responsibility. So if it's not your responsibility, why the hell would you do it?
Right.
So the questions are, what does it take from me? What does it give me? Who benefits? Who pays the price? Is it important? And is it my responsibility? And if you go through those questions, you've got a really good framework to make an informed decision. It doesn't mean you say yes or no, but it means when you give an answer, you know exactly what you're in for. So sometimes you might say yes, and sometimes you realize, yes, I do pay the price. Yes, my dog pays the price. But in this particular situation, I'm totally okay with it.
Well, yeah, because we're talking about almost like informed consent. That's a nursing term, right? But it's informed consent. What are the true facts? What is this really about? Is this actually good for me? Is it actually good for the greater good of all concerned? And should I consent to doing this or not? That's a very nursing term, informed consent, near and dear to my heart. But you're right. And if we stop, and especially being a nurse, I think that many of us are kind of predisposed to being yes people and people pleasers, especially powerful people pleasers, and taking on the karma of other people. And that's really easy to do. I talk about it in my book, and it's really painful for nurses sometimes when we take on karma from other people, which is really easy to do. And we can do it anytime we do something for somebody else that they should be doing for themselves. We're picking it up. And it has consequences. It just does. And burnout is one of them, right?
And that's one of the things where you say it has consequences. And people are so keen to get the discomfort out of their system than saying, yes, okay, yeah, I'll do it. Yeah. Because I don't want people to think that I'm unkind or all sort of fantasies are going on in their head. But they forget the bigger picture. And if you see the bigger picture, it makes such a difference.
Oh, absolutely. Because, you know, it's interesting because you're right. There is a much bigger picture going on. And sometimes it's important. And I'm kind of going to speak for, I got to have the nudge to kind of speak to those folks in HR right now or well-being officers. That sometimes it is for the greater good of all concerned that somebody stand up for themselves. It could be me, it could be you, it could be a direct report, it could be your spouse, your sibling, a parent, it could, whatever it is.
What we are talking about here is rescuer behavior, isn't it? Someone who takes the responsibility, puts the other person in a position of, oh, I can't do it myself, which sometimes is just laziness. And there someone comes along and picks them up and say, I'll do it for you, no worries, just because I find it difficult to say no.
And I shall say, some people have been raised in a culture or religious belief that believes that a savior is always going to come rescue you. And that leads out to other areas of life. And we see it in our families. We see it in our workplace. It's like, no, if it's your work to do, you are the one who has to do your work. And the flip side of the coin is, as a practitioner, you know, one of the hardest things to do as a practitioner is sometimes we have to, I'll speak first person, I have to allow my clients to fail. I have to, especially in my transformation, my ProExec transformation program, it is one of the hardest things to do as a licensed clinician to give somebody the opportunity to hit rock bottom, because it is scary, it is painful, and you know the consequences, they could pay the ultimate price. But that sometimes that is absolutely for the greater good of all concerned, especially the greater good for that person, that they actually be allowed to hit rock bottom so they can empower themselves.
And that's where you learn the lessons. You use the word failing. I don't like that.
Okay. Yeah.
Because failing has sort of a definite thing to it. And I think we're all in a process, and you know, it goes in waves, and the waves can go very deep down and very high up. So going down doesn't, for me, is not a failure. I would say it's an opportunity to really learn the lessons you have to learn. Because if you don't learn that now, they will come back, they will catch up on you. You won't move forward unless you have learned your lessons.
But absolutely. It will recycle in our lives. I've seen it in my own life. But in the last few minutes, I just wanted to ask you, if you would, if you'll share your contact information for anybody that would like to reach you. And I know that you're in private practice. Do you still have openings for your complimentary consultation, or are you booked?
Look on my website. It is It is a bit upside down. I don't know what I mean to say. Yeah. Sometimes when I don't put enough in there, then that might all be fully booked. But I say to everyone, just send me an email then we will find something. We will always find a slot within the next 2 weeks, no problem. And of course, I work via Zoom with clients from all over the world. You know, it doesn't matter where someone is, as long as we can speak the same language. Yeah. So my website is drdestress.co.uk. Mariette Jansen or Dr. Mariette Jansen, Google me. I'm not even sure what I'm on LinkedIn. I think Dr. Mariette Jansen, Dr. De-Stress or yeah. Coaching, or because it has recently changed. Yeah. But you will always be able to find me. There's no problem there.
Terrific, yeah. Terrific. All right, so this is part three of part four. Next week for another exciting episode of Jennifer J and Dr. Jansen. I also like to invite anybody out there who would like to come on the show next week. If you would like to call in and have a conversation with us, I'd like to invite you to do that. If you'd like to come on the show, reach out to me, send me an email, jennifer@burnbrighttoday.com. Or reach out to me on LinkedIn, reach out to me via my website. Let's have a conversation, because I'd like to, let's open this up and take a couple of callers, one, maybe two. We might even be able to get to a third. But if you would like to talk to Dr. Jansen, ask some questions, speak your truth. If you have a specific situation that you'd like some help with without giving out any confidences, we're here for you. So welcome back, Burn Bright Today. Next Monday, Dr. Jansen, part four in the series about survival guide for narcissism. Take care, everyone, and burn bright, my friends. Thanks for listening to Burn Bright Today with me, Jennifer J. Marcinelli, so you can burn brighter tomorrow. Burnout can feel like a heavy cloud hanging over everything you do, but a holistic healing revolution and a life you love is within your grasp. Catch me next Monday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Central, 12 p.m. Eastern on transformationtalkradio.com. To learn more about me and to schedule a quantum healing session, visit burnbrighttoday.com. See you next time.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.